Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're spoiled for choice here in America. How many of you have more than one streaming service at your house, whether it be Disney Plus, Hulu, ESPN? Raise your hand if you have more than one. Okay, I'm seeing a lot of the hands. Some of you don't. That's good. That's good restraint. Yes. But, I mean, how many choices of streaming services do we have? We have so many to choose from, all with different shows and different and wonderful things to see, movies, countless choices. You can turn on any of those, and you're almost bombarded and overwhelmed by the amount of choice that you have. Or how many of you who live in this area, and even beyond us, this area, and anywhere you are, how many of you have a choice of what kind of food that you want? Italian food, Mexican food, and you can have so many others, and then you can have even more choices on that, whether you want to dine in, whether you want to carry out, and then there's fast food, slow food, medium food, cafeteria food. Okay, maybe not that last one. I don't think anyone would choose cafeteria food if they had to. But the fact of the matter is, here in America, we are overwhelmed with choices. We have so many freedoms that we have. The choice of freedom, in fact. It's a wonderful thing. But we can't choose things spiritually for ourselves. You see, we can choose anything in this world. We can choose what to wear each day. We can choose what kind of breakfast cereal we want to eat. We can choose when to go to work, when not to go to work, and all the decisions, we have choices in the matter, but we have no choice in our spiritual life. That choice was made for us on our baptism. It was even made before that, when God formed the very foundations of the world. Even before that, before the foundations of the world, God chose us as his sons and his daughters. He made the ultimate choice for us, that he would be our God and we would be his children. And because of that freedom that God has given us in his choosing us, we have eternal life. And so, he then gives us a choice. And this is that. To follow God or don't. Seems like an easy choice. I mean, anyone here who's here at Blessed Savior or who's joining us over Facebook Live or whoever hears this before, if you are a Christian, this seems like an easy choice. Obviously, follow God. He's given us everything. He's given us his own body and blood to eat and to drink. He's given us very good things in this world. He sustains us. Why wouldn't we choose God? Well, I'm sure those Israelites thought the same thing. Proverbs is a wonderful text that explains the wisdom of God, how the truth and faith and wisdom of God is pure and good. So you would always choose that, right? You would never choose the folly of human thinking. And you would think so, but the other text that was for today in the Old Testament reading has a very different story. It was right after the Israelites came into the land of Canaan and conquered the entire land. Actually, no, they didn't. You see, there was a lot of warring tribes in the land of Canaan. There were people who were antagonistic toward the Israelites, antagonistic toward God. And God commanded the Israelite people, led by Joshua, after the death of Moses, talk about some big shoes to fill there, they were commanded to go into the land of Canaan and subdue it, to take every single tribe that was against the Lord to the sword, down to the women and the children, completely destroy every single one of them. That sounds really harsh, but it was a command from God, because God knew what would happen if that did not happen. The people that God set aside to be holy, the people that God chose to be his people on earth, would be corrupted, torn down from the inside. They don't really have a great track record either. Golden calf in the desert, grumbling and complaining against Moses, not trusting God to give them water and food, and then complaining about the water and the food that God gave them. Not a great track record. So, Joshua before he goes off and disperses the tribes of Israel into the various parts of the land of Canaan, gathers them all one last time in a giant assembly. And he says to them, men of Israel, people of God, you have two choices. Obey God or don't. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And at this spot, declare yourself to be either for God or against him. And the people said, oh, we will be truthful and faithful to God. And Joshua said, no, no, no. You are a stiff-necked people. You are a rebellious people. You must proclaim that you will follow God and all of his statutes, that he will be your God and he will be his people and you will not fall away. And the people of Israel said, yes. And we promise this over the heads of our children and the blood of our children. We will always be faithful to God. I heard a bit of a snicker there. That's true. Joshua did declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people did proclaim, we will serve God. You read the next very book of Judges, and you can see how long that lasted. Not even before Joshua died. And not very soon after Joshua died, the people that the Israelites were supposed to get rid of in the land of Canaan came and subdued them. Their gods became their gods. And they fell away. And all the rest of the Old Testament is a story of God relentlessly pursuing his people and his people relentlessly turning away and seeking after folly, seeking after their own wisdom. They had the choice before them, serve God or don't. And though they saw the wonderful miracles of God, even though they saw his goodness in the desert, in the land of Canaan, and throughout their entire history when they were there, they still chose wrongly. I'd like to say we're any better, but we're not. And in fact, these people would go on to, when we're going to say, well, if we were there with Jesus, maybe we would understand. Those people who saw Jesus, they would have a better idea, right? They would see the choice that God has made, the choice that God knew that we could not save ourselves. So God chose in his love to send his only son into the world to save us from our sins. He was there, Jesus, with the people. He grew up with them. He grew up in a wonderful place where he could spread the truth and love and the gospel of his Father. And he offered them all a choice. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come and see what the Lord will do. And some obeyed. And then he goes back into Capernaum, where he is well known, where his family is well known. He goes and he proclaims that he is the bread of life. That he, whoever partakes of him, shall live forever. Whoever eats of his flesh and drinks of his blood, whoever consumes the very essence of Jesus Christ, they will have his eternal life. They will be children of God, just as he is the Son of God. This is a wonderful thing that God has given to his people. And the people grumbled and complained. How is this Jesus going to be bread from heaven? Is he better than the manna that God sent down into the wilderness to our fathers? Is he better than Elijah and all the other prophets who so gave us the words of God? Is he better than the high priests who tell us how to worship him this day? He's no prophet. We know his parents. His father, Joseph, was a carpenter. He sold me a bench just last week. Jesus himself made me a table when he was younger. How can he say that he is the bread of life? How can he say that he can partake of me and have eternal life? And even his own disciples saw this. They were deeply disturbed because Jesus goes into gross imagery here. And it is gross, don't get me wrong. If you really look on the outset of Christianity, we talk about eating the body and drinking the blood of the person that we worship to be the Son of God. Just take yourself out of that and just, if you picture someone saying that and they said that to you, you would think they're nuts. You would. But that is what Jesus calls us to do. And his own disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can believe this?" And that's why Jesus said that this is why the Father has said that no one can come to me unless the Father has called him to me. Will you leave? And many of his disciples, when having that choice to partake of the bread of life and all of its mystery and all of its glory and all of its oddness, were to choose folly. Many disciples chose the latter and left. Once again, we would think we wouldn't make that decision. We would be like the 12 and stand strong with Jesus to always follow him. In fact, we are sustained by his body and blood today. Why wouldn't we choose this? My brothers and sisters in Christ, if the choice was that easy, things would be a lot different. Our lives would look a lot different. We would be a lot different. And yet we are the same. We are exactly the same as those Israelites who declared ourselves to be for God and then went after other gods. We are the exact same as those disciples who said, "I will follow you," and then chose not to. Yes, we choose to be here. Yes, we are called here by God our Father. We choose to come to church. We choose to listen in sometimes to a service. But what about when other choices come up in your life? The choice to call someone. I've been having the pleasure of talking to a lot of people throughout the COVID year. And some of them are so grateful for a single call, for a single word of happiness, a conversation. There was one person I called who hadn't heard the voice of a church member in a year or more. When I asked why, they said, "Well, I don't know." I then went and I asked other people, and they said, "Well, I assumed someone else was talking to them, so I didn't." There was a choice to know that there are people in need, but assume someone else is doing it. And so assuming let that person go, neglected, away from the church. There are other choices. The choices of having a harsh truth and holding it in. But God said, "Let the truth be exposed, so that it might be light, so that all might be seen." But the truth is hidden. Choice. There's a choice to always follow God, to proclaim his name in all the heights, to act in a manner that is worthy of him, to forsake all other things in this world, the comforts of this life, the comforts of all the choices that we have, to stand and take a stand for what is right and good for his people and for God and the world. And so often, we choose nothing. We might not choose to deny Christ. We might not choose to kiss him in betrayal. We might not choose to follow after some other god, whether that be money, wealth, time, whatever. But each and time in our daily lives, when we choose an easy way of this world over the harder way of God, we make a choice. And that choice will lead only to one place: death. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this to the very core of his being. And so he still proclaimed the very powerful and real and hard truths of this world. Even as Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we know you to be the Holy One of God." These words we proclaim today in our liturgy, we proclaim in our hearts and in our minds, and we do follow after God. And Jesus saw this too. And he said, "Even after that, and even one of you will betray me." It's kind of a harsh slap in the face there. a declaration of faith, and then Jesus saying, one of you will betray me still. But look what happened. That was in John chapter 6. John has a lot more text for us to have. Jesus knew the people. He knew the grumbling of the hearts of his disciples. Jesus knew that his disciples, his inner circle, his 12 best friends would betray him. When given the choice to stand for Christ and to run away from the Roman soldiers, he knew that they would run away. He knew. He knew every single choice that they would make. And he loved them. He clung to them. He went for them. He forgave them. On the cross, he forgave John. He said and made it so that his mother, who wanted to have him taken away, who wanted them to come home with his brothers and sisters, Jesus was on the cross and he made sure that his mother was taken care of. The mother who we don't even hear much after his birth and his childhood, he still loved her and he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He was there with Peter. After rising from the dead, he went to Peter and the disciples, and he forgave them. As Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus forgave Peter 3 times. Saying, go and feed, go and tend, and go and love my sheep. And he said the same things to us. Jesus knows that we have a rebellious heart. God knows that we can, even though we want to choose what is good, and sometimes by the power of the Holy Spirit in us we can, we still are fallen human beings in need of his forgiveness. And he knows that, and he loves us. And that he does not stop pursuing us, because God had a choice. He could have wiped it all out. But he, in his love, still chose a family to save them through an ark. God could have destroyed an entire people, but because of his love for them, he still was with them, even in their rebellious ways. God had a choice to forsake the entire world, but instead sent his very own son into the world to save it, so that it would never be forsaken. And he gives us a choice. That he could have left his son to die, but he raised him from the dead and gives us eternal life to whoever believes in him. And we have that very bread, that very body, that very wine, the very blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which we will get to partake of today, that we get to have in ourselves that sustains us in this life, because God knows there will be choices in our lives. God knows that we will be hard-pressed to follow him in all things. And God is not happy when we don't. In fact, it is bad and evil that when we don't. And God does declare us unrighteous. But we have our Savior in us, sustained in us. And he declares us righteous. And he gives us the power and gives us the tools to go out into this world, to call on people and bring them into the fellowship of Christ, to take care of them, to love them, and to go after them with the wonderful exuberance and happiness that cannot be expressed. He gives us his body and blood to sustain us this day. I don't know what will happen not tomorrow or the next day. I don't know what choices I will make, but I know that the choice was made for me. That God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for me, to live for me, to be with me, and to sustain me, and to help me choose what is good. I pray that we would remember this and follow Christ until he comes again. Amen.